Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Space Dwarves return to a certain company. Shield Maidens.
I specifically came over for this.
Oh, nice, nice.
I believe the quote was, cyberpunk female Vikings. I'm like, gotta show up today.
Right. Blade Runner RPG goes to, or Kickstarter date released. Yeah, so that's a little disappointing. And some free stuff.
Ooh.
Just in case you don't want to pledge any Kickstarters. So let's see what we have in store from the amazing Games Workshop. So it has, it was kind of this switcheroo.
Okay.
April Fool's joke where they had the silhouette of a squat is how they refer to them, which I don't think is going to fly anymore. So they can't use squat or stunty for.
Well,
I think there'll be some activists from the little people.
I don't think squat is negative, like all that negative sounding, especially if you put like a capital S. Yeah. I mean, right? How more offensive is squat than dwarf? I've already moved this off on a tangent. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. But so we'll see. They teased us, and so people are like, oh, but it's April 1st where they're showing us this. So what could this possibly be? And then they said, joke, what joke? And revealed a miniature. And the squats had already returned as Forge World for Necromunda. They were like, mercenaries.
Okay.
There were two. Well, and also for the Rogue Trader.
Okay.
Yeah, the Rogue Trader. Boxed game that squad had some twin or brothers or two little squats that were part of that team. The Blackstone Fortress stuff.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure what we're going to get. They haven't given us details. And
except
so
for that one miniature?
Yeah, that one miniature, a painted miniature, and everyone is just assuming, okay, the entire force is back. So are they going to do an entire faction release, or is this just going to be a kill team squad? They're just going to... And they may do that. They may start small and see, because if they have a huge... I mean, they're releasing plastic Horus Heresy 2.0 is supposedly coming this year, too.
The person I could talk to about this, because that's related. So I got... about the squat thing. I've seen the miniature. Didn't realize it was an April Fool's joke, right?
Yeah,
because of the few Discord servers I'm on. One of them is Turnip 28, and there's an other miniatures channel, right? Uh-huh. And people were showing that and talking about whether or not they could, you know, use the body. It's a bit too sci-fi for Turnip, but I thought it looked okay. Mm-hmm. I think it would kind of make sense for GW to make a kill team.
To
gauge reaction, because they, unless they've been planning it for a while, they can't have a full force ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's like, here's a taste. Oh, they sell well. Okay, let's kind of keep developing them. But I wanted to ask about the 30K.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It kind of seems like Age of Sigmar and Warhammer Fantasy Battles is kind of like 40K and 30K.
Oh, right.
Right? Because isn't 30K kind of an older, but now cleaned up rule set?
They're still using 7th. Yeah, they didn't even go, or a version of 7th. And I think because it's always Space Marines versus Space Marines, there's no, you know, Tyranids or any, you know, any Xenos. So you're not, the rules don't get so complicated like the mess that they turned into in 7th. So I think they're staying with a version of 7th, but I think that maybe changing in this new version. So there's new changes to the rules. I haven't read up on it, but yeah, it's going to be hopefully cleaner and more playable, but it's going to be expensive as hell.
So, it's Games Workshop. What do you expect?
Because they were already milking people. Like, I mean, the Forge World stuff is insane, insanely expensive. So that was the
resin
boutique.
I know. It's kind of like, all the miniature related hashtags and stuff I look at on Instagram and other stuff, and like whenever I see an obvious kit bash, I'm like, that's like 5 GW kits you put together there.
Right, right.
Are you Scrooge McDuck style swimming in money to use GW boxes for parts.
I just want this one little piece off of this kit. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, for me, the reveal of that miniature reminded me a little bit of the Deep Rock Galactic, the dwarf mining PC game, the multiplayer PC game. They're going to have to do, and they're not, I think it's going to be kind of bland and generic. They're going to have to do something pretty amazing, because if they're going to leave that old kind of campy style of, rogue trader, they're going to... It's going to be bland and weird, and there's already great dwarves. And the reason, so the first, when I got back into wargaming, the first set that I bought was the Fate of the Forge Star, the Mantic space dwarves. And it was because they were space dwarves. Like they actually had the Forge Fathers, which were their version of squats. And, So, space dwarves have been around from other people, and I'm sure there's amazing Patreons with people doing space dwarves. So they've got a lot of competition, and just to bring this back on name recognition or like in a nostalgia only, if they look boring, it's going to be, unless they have amazing, they'll be overpowered and have amazing stats when they first come out. But I don't know how amazing this is going to be. And they've already... So they're changing the name. The name of this faction is going to be the Leagues of Votan.
Oh, Leagues of Votan, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So they're going away from Stunties and Squats, and which I'm sure they're going to be referred to as, but I don't think that's going to be official marketing. Plus, then this Leagues thing, they can trademark, and you can't mess with them. So, this is going to be the first release of... if they're going to be an actual legitimate force since 93. So it's been a while. It's been more than 30 years. Yeah, that was the last full army release. Yeah, so that's quite a time ago. So, like I said, we did see them in Necromunda. And there was actually in a little bit in that last thing they did in 8th edition, their last little...
I couldn't tell you
narrative
what that was,
thing. Man. Yeah, they kind of hinted at because I guess in the lore, when they disappeared, they were just like, oh, the Tyranids ate them all. They're gone, and so we did see. So originally from 87, the original Rogue Trader had a lot of artwork and kind of established them as a faction, and so you had a full army list, miniatures, and background for them. Then in second edition, that was 93, they still existed. They had codices. They existed in Epic as well.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah, so 92, there was an Epic fashion. Third edition, 98, they were apocryphally eaten by the Tyranids, and that was the last we've heard. So here we are in 2022. Oh, yeah, Psychic Awakenings. Yeah, there was a tease or something that kind of referenced there's still something going on. So 30 years, yikes. And so a little bit of background for them. So they have strongholds. So basically how they establish instead of the...
Dwarven mines.
The other fantasy kind of trope. So strongholds with lords, and each stronghold has a military force. So that's how they break up their factions, or how they
that's why
distinguish.
They're the league.
Right. Yeah. And they have labyrinthine mining installations. So they're going to be dwarf space miners. So some of the established in the lore, whether they exist or not, still the stronghold of Bruggen, the lost stronghold of Dargon, and the stronghold of Thungrim. Will all be from the original lore. So we'll see if they update things, what actually happened, if things still exist. And I guess if they stick with what they established in Rogue Trader, there's going to be 700 leagues of of these dwarves.
Okay.
Yeah, and so each league headed by a specific stronghold. So that's kind of the political structure is the league. So League of Thor, League of Kapalar, League of Norgren, League of Enberg, League of Grindel were some of the names already established. So we're going to have to see what they do. So some older players may have already painted metal miniatures to correspond.
I wonder if
they
kept them.
Right. So if they still exist somewhere.
Of course, there's no guarantee that you're ever going to be able to play any of your old stuff because...
Oh, yeah. Well, just like Necromunda, when they updated Necromunda, they made the old miniatures unplayable because they changed so much about how loadouts worked and everything that, it was real tricky to work with.
We're a company that needs to make money. Right. So those things you already bought, unusable.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll see. And then there's the squat guilds, of course. So in the time of isolation, when they're separated from the humans in space, they preserved their technology in the strongholds. So these guilds, yeah. So the so it is very fantasy. It's just kind of a sci-fi version of like kind of how dwarves play in most of the fantasy settings, isolating themselves, you know, digging under underground. So yeah, but it's unless they're skillfully going to do this, it's going to throw some weird spins in, like if it's current 40K lore, then wait, they have this technology and they have this and we don't, and can't we just steal this from, kill this and steal this from them? You know, because that's the level of technology is such a funny thing in 40K, and how they're recovering, you know,
lost tech and
stuff lost tech, like the templates that are used to, you know, to resurrect these old technologies. That means that's why there's a limited number of space marines, a limited number of tanks and everything.
Well,
because they
I guess getting into it, maybe with 40K, it's a bit more, it's all fantasy, right? It's fiction, so do whatever you want, right? There is no, like believable, right?
Because
you got aliens, right? But I guess it maybe does sound to me more believable because of how, like, dense and bureaucratic and xenophobic the Imperium is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there are rogue traders and inquisitors going out there who, like, may happen upon or search down stuff, but, like, general population, they'll be like, whoa, what's that weird thing? Don't care, burn it.
Right.
So that does work, I guess, in the favor of believability for why we don't just take this tech. Or there's such, like, staunch fascism, right? We're just like, whoa, alien, we ain't using their shit, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
so we'll see. Yeah, and I didn't see it, and I don't know from the actual lore if this is like a split, like a mutation of humanity, or if these are Xeno, like if this is a Xenos faction, or if they are going to be kind of incorporated into.
Well, if they're a
lost Imperium,
if they're an offshoot of humanity, well then they're just Rattlings,
Ogryns,
right? So I think I would imagine they would have, maybe not, but hey, I would imagine they would have to be a kind of a Xenos, kind of the way the Eldar are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, they're coming back, and it's a long time, and there's been a lot of good space dwarf, you know, development since then. So they're going to have to try pretty hard, which they won't.
to make
this amazing. Yeah.
You say that, and I agree, they won't. But will they have to?
It's
GW.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
People are going to, like, their GW, rabid GW fans are going to buy their stuff.
Yeah. It has returned. Yeah, so from that one miniature tease, I don't have a lot of hope. I think they're going to be pretty generic, you know, just like, oh, spacesuits with little shorter, bearded heads. And that's the thing with Mantic, though, that turned me off eventually is there's a lot of non-bearded dwarf characters.
Think about this, so like maybe hair kind of gets caught in stuff in space, right?
In space, it's not practical. It's very hairless dwarves. But that is a thing, and that is coming. And they try to do kind of a cutesy, you know, April Fool's trick. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out and what, you know, how, you know, it's going to be, everything's going to be so trademark. It would be fun to see the names, like how they're going to name things.
How many R's and apostrophes are going to stick in that thing? Yeah.
Right. So we will see. But dwarves are back in a major sci-fi franchise. And I was just looking at old Citadel catalogs from the early 90s. God, those miniatures are amazing. And there's so much, you know, character and personality.
You could also kill someone with them.
Yeah, right. There's, you know, so much going on in those sculpts. And they accurately, like, give you a sense of what this world is like now that things are so clean and so, you know, computer designed.
But doesn't that also give you an accurate depiction of what the world is like? Yeah. I mean, we went from, generalization here, but we went from a game that was obviously satire to you have that being a contentious point,
right?
And you getting, like, yelled at online about, no, these are the heroes. And you're like, bro, look at the Imperium. Those are not heroes in any sense of the word. And even GW is kind of flipping on that. We're like that statement they put out, right? Well, it's like, it's great. You want to combat fascism. Maybe that's hard to argue when you put, like, one of the worst factions as the saviors of humanity. And even if you don't say it, they're the hero shot of everything, right?
Yeah,
so anyway, I think it fits, right? Mm-hmm, this kind of clean computer design kind of thing fits the, well, we're joking, but maybe not
If you wanted to play seriously fascist, what are we going to do? But our company, of course, is not. You know, they always, that the corporate message is like, you know, we're inclusive and accepting, even if our lore is, you know, not at all. So, we, in our lore, we decided humanity has failed, but we as a company are on the right side of history. All right. Well, let's look at something a little bit more fun and a little fun mashup. So our first Kickstarter this week from the designer of the Starship Troopers game, Mongoose is publishing Shield Maidens. So I thought this may be right up your alley, but there's a huge problem that this is going to pose for you. So, Matthew Sprang is bringing us a Vikings with cyberpunk, basically. So Shield Maidens will use Norse mythology, Viking history with a sci-fi twist. So an alternative universe where the nine realms of the Norse gods are kind of fused with advanced technology. So hard light technology is one of the things they're going to do. So shields and weapons. So I guess kind of like that. Holographic kind of like, you know, look of things. And some of the art has that look, you know, it's like, you know, pink neon and like, you know, energy shields, but designed.
I'm smiling behind my mask because you can't say hard light technology without me thinking of the hologram Ace Rimmer from Red Dwarf when he gets his solid light upgrade, right? Yeah. Whenever you say hard light, I'm just like, oh, so like a hard hologram? Yeah.
Right. Yes. So in this game, everyone is going to be playing as the daughters of the goddess Freya, and you're fighting against. So the power of Ymir's blood is fading; the blood is running out, and Ragnarok is approaching. So you are opposing the forces.
Seems kind of futile because you ain't going to win.
Yeah, right.
Which I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad game or a bad setup. I mean, like knowing the outcome of a game can be kind of fun, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole thing of Ragnarok for me was like, yep, we're going to lose. Stuff's going to be bad. We're going to fight your ass anyway. Yeah.
And even like both Warhammer Fantasy and 40K were kind of that, you know, 5 minutes till midnight setting. So, you know, everything is going sideways, but the clock is, it's taking its time. You know, we're getting thousands of years.
I always saw like Warhammer Fantasy and Mjolnir as like 5 minutes to midnight. So let's all be assholes, right? Where at least like Viking mythology is a little bit more like 5 minutes to midnight, let's get the job done anyway, let's still kind of keep going, yeah.
Right. Yes. So it sounds really fun. So the Nine Realms. So there will be a collection of adventure hooks in the book, of course, guidance for the GM, and so players are creating their Shield Maiden characters and equipping them with cyberpunk armor and weaponry. So as I said, this is the same designer as Starship Troopers, and Mongoose is the publisher currently of Traveler, Sea of Thieves, the RPG, which is based on the PC game, and Paranoia.
Okay.
So May 1st, you can get your hands on for just a measly $19 US. We'll get you a PDF copy, which is going to be released in October.
Cool.
Yeah, so the art looks really fun. And the dilemma. So during a session, do you play Viking metal or synthwave?
Oh! I was expecting something much more, much more difficult, like some kind of blockchain bullshit thing about Kickstarter. Ooh, interesting question. I'm going to do that gif of why not both at the same time. Yeah.
Yes, just a mashup.
Well, now I'm going to have to find Viking-inspired synthwave to play just for this.
Definitely. Yeah, so it looks good. It looks fun, and the art is very evocative. So we'll have a nice sci-fi. And I think we've already seen that. And I think one of the board games that where they took like Greek mythology and made it kind of cyber sci-fi, I think there's already been like a Ragnarok, like a Fall of Ragnarok or some kind of weird sci-fi cyber adaptation of Vikings. So we've seen Norse mythology.
Oh, I'm sure there has been. I'll have to go check this out because it sounds interesting. It also sounds like you do a lot of fighting. That reminds me, like I've talked about like Sludge before, that war game. It doesn't say it explicitly, but basically Sludge is like post-apocalyptic because everything's broken and like the land literally breaks up, but clumps of it are still held together by the giant world tree. So they don't say anything about like Yggdrasil or like Norse inspired mythology, but the fact that there's still a world tree with like actual chunks of stuff and continents on it. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and this Kickstarter sounds interesting too.
And we'll see, hopefully they do well, and it's Mongoose, so we know it's going to be, you know, decent quality and the rules should
Any idea about the system or kind of die?
They didn't say if it was based on anything, you know, if it's going to be, if it's the same designer, maybe it will be the outgrowth. And I'm not familiar with the Starship Troopers game, so I don't know what system they use. But I'm sure that'll all be on their Kickstarter page.
I'll have to go look.
Yeah, make sure. And maybe there'll be a quick start as well.
Oh, maybe.
Hopefully there'll be some at least some beta rules or something.
Definitely less interested in it if it's D20 based.
Mm.
Just saying that now.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, there wasn't any reference to the system aside from just kind of what you can expect in the book.
I'll have to go and look, though.
Yeah, but they're giving their like alternative lore of the Nine Realms, so that could be fun. There could be a lot of fun to play with, like how you're going to portray the elves and the ice giants and stuff in a cyberpunk setting. Who knows? And another Kickstarter, which is a bit of a disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this was an announcement from last September that we were excited about. So Free League has given us a date for the release of, or not the release, the crowdfunding launch for Blade Runner. So the Blade Runner tabletop is coming this spring and then to retail in the fall of this year. So it is the official game. It's licensed, licensed through the Alcyon or Alicon, the company that owns that property. And so we haven't had any numbers, like how much this is going to, there's no details yet of what is going to be available in the Kickstarter. But it is disappointing that they're taking such a huge IP to a crowdfunding platform.
I was, only learned about this today, but I was wondering about this, where do you think this was Free League's choice? And I'm not saying that's either way, but my thought was maybe they didn't really have any control over this. And it does seem kind of weird where initially, it wasn't going to Kickstarter, right? It was going to be one of their just pre-orders. Maybe whoever owns the license to Blade Runner, like something happened and they were unhappy or like time frame or something or just logistics changed. And they said, look, we're renegotiating the deal. And part of that includes either you got to make back this much or you're going to have to use Kickstarter, where maybe Free League kind of went, okay, we need to kind of guarantee, or we need to do something and go to Kickstarter, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. It might have been something where, they got some pressure and they wanted some kind of security. That, can you reduce the risk? Well, there is crowdfunding. Okay,
yeah, maybe,
let's do that.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds better, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't really, like, I don't think you can really guarantee anything with Kickstarter, apart from the fact that you don't have to make anything if you don't meet your goal, right? So yeah, maybe, no idea, just speculation, the right said mitigate that risk, use a crowd source or a crowd platform.
And maybe too, what they wanted to do, aside from just the core book, what they wanted to do with it got a little bit out of control, and they're like, okay, let's try to raise some funds for this. Because I think a crowdfunding campaign, even if you're using a big IP, it does mean you can do more. Like if it has a big success, that means you're going to get all kinds of accessories and card sets and stuff that you wouldn't have probably produced if you're just doing a pre-order. You would have kind of scaled down what the production would have been.
Probably not, but then you run into you have the potential of running into logistical problems like that Ogre Kickstarter.
They
hit like so much, and I'm not saying they did it calculated poorly, but it's like shipping is now this because
it's a casket. Yeah, we're sending you. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got buried in their Ogre box.
Not happy about this. Hopefully it means it's going to be a bigger production. Hopefully it means it increases the quality of things. I'm sure there's going to be, like we're seeing, there's going to be, limited edition covers or something, that will come out of this, which is always a thing. But maybe more support materials, which would be good. But the setting of this, so in September we'll get to, I'm sorry, that we learned about it in September. This May we're going to learn a little bit more about the setting. What we know so far is it takes place in an alternative 2037, so between the two films. So it's a sequel to the first film, and 2049, of course, hasn't happened yet. But this will be the launch of the Wallace Corporation. So In the crawl, or the text opening of 2049, they talked about famine. Wallace kind of saved the world by switching to bug protein, and replicants became their replicants became farmers, and so that's going to be the beginning of that. So still, pretty bleak. And
I'm still kind of wondering why they harvest obviously beetle grubs from giant pools of milk. At least have an aquatic fucking bug, right. Like, what's this thing you pulled out of the water that's obviously going to die if you just Anyway, sorry.
But it's visually very disgusting. Oh, sure.
Just like the Dune movie. Yeah, everything was visually impressive. Right. Made no fucking sense. And just like, yeah, anyway.
So the interesting detail that I don't know if we'd heard before is you can play either as a human or a replicant. Hmm. So everyone, of course, is going to be a Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. You play some class of some level of Blade Runner. So you're all a member of the LAPD's Rep Detect unit. And your goal is finding and subduing replicants as they attempt to rebel against their position or hide themselves in human society. Mm-hmm. But because you can play a replicant, there will be, it seems, a little bit of questioning of who you are. Right. So if there's a mechanic, I think that's a really great thing if they can do this successfully where a player says, I'm a replicant, and it's just you've been deceived. Like there's something in the game that actually reveals that, no, you are not, or I'm definitely human. I'm definitely human. So playing with that question that the first movie asked, it would be fun if there is a mechanic where you can kind of undermine a player's like belief in who they are, and then that would kind of manipulate the choices they may make. Because one of the things that they say is that you can do your job or you can offer mercy. You know, the kind of meaning of that is up to you, because you're not going to be rewarded for your job. You know, Deckard was always,
next.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Why would I want to play this game? I'm not going to get rewarded for my job. And it's just like a daily grind. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like, so they can, there's a potential to, for doubt to be cast on anyone's identity. I think that's really fun. And kind of like, you know, the thing that they suggested in the Alien game is there's a, you know, a hidden android is a fun idea, not knowing, oh, that is a, you know, that is an android and it's got its secret agenda is going to be very different from the human parts of the crew. If everyone in the game has a potential to, you know, to be undermined or be confused about who they really are and what their purpose is, that might be fun. And the you know, if you're in a party or you're playing, you know, together from the same precinct or whatever, it'll be interesting to assist each other through that doubt or confusion. And then, you know, the decisions you're going to make. So are we just going to, you know, eliminate all of these rebellious replicants, or are we going to form an underground resistance?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if that's an option or something you could potentially do in the game. And I was kind of smiling because I don't know if it was intended to be played that way, but thinking about what you said about Alien and how, okay, Chariot of the Gods kind of came out first and had the hidden android mechanic. Then, like, the very short cinematic adventure in the core book has an open synthetic.
Ah, right.
Mm-hmm. And I was kind of thinking about the progression of the movies, how I think the idea was, okay, we've played a game with a hidden android, and wow, that one fucked us up. Even though we're different characters, and this is a different setting and different game, there's an open android. Are we supposed to trust them? I think, like, just like you went from like Alien to Aliens like Ash and Bishop. I think that's what they were going for with the cinematic, the release of the cinematic things in Alien.
Yeah.
So they have the potential, based on past titles, to do like that hidden role thing really well. Mm-hmm. And so, like, yeah, an open replicant in the rep tech department. Do we actually trust them? Right? Mm-hmm. What kind of sick, twisted replicant actually goes out and hunts other replicants?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
Or like the hidden replicant, or maybe you don't know. So, yeah, I don't know how or if they would do it, but based on past titles, I think they have the ability to, or Free League has the ability to do it and kind of explore that. So,
yeah, and it would, I think if it was like a hidden mechanic that the game master is kind of maintaining, and they're starting, they'll like try to feed you clues, or you're finding origami everywhere. That's referencing, because you know you have that implanted memory thing. You know, there's certain things that you know you can trust and can't trust. So being able to kind of like pull the rug out from under players might be really fun and really like, okay, wait a minute here, wait, you know, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Just like the fear and panic. My preference would be that has to be mechanical.
Yeah, right.
Because while you can trust certain players to act certain ways and to try and role play that, I think it's has a lot more teeth when it's, no, for a short time, you're not going to get to control yourself or your character, right? Or like, oh, you thought this was true? Sorry, it's not, right? Mm-hmm. Or even if it's potentially like, sorry, this is your actual stat now, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be, very interesting. So, yeah, we'll see. And this is going to be crowdfunded, so we'll see the exact success, exact popularity of this. And I wonder if, you know, Blade Runner has kind of waned a little bit, maybe. You know, as a license. So maybe they, or as a property. Mm. So maybe they were a little bit worried about how it would sell if they just went straight to pre-order. But we'll find out on May 3rd. Mm. So the Kickstarter launches May 3rd and then
smack in the middle of a golden week.
Yes. Yeah, right, right. And fulfillment will be in the fall, hopefully, as all those things go. So if you don't want to pledge to a Kickstarter or throw your money away, we have some free options for you. So this is just something I noticed on a list that's still available. It'll be available until the end of this month, April 30th. And maybe something you're not going to run out and get, but if you are using Roll20, you can just click a button and added to your library will be the entire release for virtual tabletop for Roll20 mm-hmm. of The Lost Mines of Phandelver.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, a very well-regarded adventure to start 5th edition. So 5th edition D&D. So that's going to mean you get the maps, the tokens, the entire module. And this is a nice, if you're a first time DM or you've got a first time group, this is a really nice adventure to take them through because it's a teaching adventure, kind of builds, you know, very easily. So mechanics keep getting added. And so people can start to, you know, get their head around the strategy or the thinking in the game, as well as a lot of, you know, fun role play opportunities. So yeah, so check that out if on your Roll20 account. We'll put a link directly to the marketplace slot, and then you just click add to your library, and then it's there. If you're logged into your account, it's there. So normally, I think it's like $5 or $10. Okay. Yeah, it's not dramatically expensive, but it's nice to just, you know, be able to add that for free, and that can always be a go-to. And another, this has been a freebie for a while, but another thing we just did the first long distance virtual unboxing for the channel. I'm still editing it right now, but the grab bag, the 2022 grab bag from Goodman Games.
Cool.
So Matt, one of our excellent patrons, ordered that, and over video we unboxed it, and it's amazing. It's because it's books, it's like 7 or 8 pounds of a tremendous amount of books, and really great. It's almost like it was almost archaeology, because I think it went chronologically, like reverse chronology. Mm. So there were things from like the early 2000s and then all the way to 2022 2021.
Wow.
So very fun. So that video is coming, but that brought up the fact that Dungeon Crawl Classics has a quick start rules for free. So this happened one of the free RPG days they developed this. So this has been, you know, on their site for like it's been a $5 option for a long time if you don't want to get the full rule set, which I believe is like 30. It's
probably,
you know, and but that is at like a 500 some
page. Yeah, it's big, yeah.
So this is a way to get the starter rules are specifically written to introduce judges and players to this world. The rules are condensed and simplified. It will serve primarily to get players through their first level zero encounter. And if you don't know Dungeon Crawl Classics, it's got the classic level zero character funnel.
Yep, funnel.
Yeah, so you roll.
Why do they call it a funnel, not like a meat grinder?
Well, I'm sure it's a funnel leading to a meat grinder.
Congratulations, you got out. Nope, you didn't.
Yeah, so and then into your first level one adventure. Although the rules still do go all the way until level two, which it will be amazing if you survive that one.
Yeah.
And for the full experience, you play up to 10th level, which you'll need the full rule set for. So I'll put a link to that. And the book also includes Portal Under the Stars, kind of their classic level zero, like first encounter, which may actually even be included. I'm not sure if it's separate or included in the core
quick start,
rules. Right. Yeah. So it is in their quick start. And almost free. Oh. There was one more entry, almost free. There is a Humble Bundle running until, we got, I think, another week on this. But Cubicle 7 did the Age of Sigmar Soulbound bundle.
Okay.
So for as little as $1, you can have the core book and early adventures to play that. So yeah, and then it goes up. There's, of course, like Humble Bundle always does the levels of 10 and then 18. Mm. And 18 gives you, I think, just about everything they've released. And they do give you a discount as well at that highest level of 20%, like a coupon, but it's only for Age of Sigmar physical products from their store.
Oh, the, oh.
Yeah, because you're basically getting everything digital.
Right, right.
And yeah, but sometimes they leave that open to everything on the store that's on a pre-order. This is
specific. Limited to Age of Sigmar.
Yes, yes. Okay. So it's not free, but it's a, close, only a dollar. Yeah, yeah. So those are a couple of options if you want to try. And I guess they're all fantasy options. So it's, yeah, 5e, Dungeon Crawl Classics, and
Age of Sigmar, yeah.
Yeah, Age of Sigmar. So, yeah, a couple of cheap ways to try new systems if you're interested. Yeah, and keep an eye out for the virtual unboxing. So not only is it the grab bag from this year, but it's also the first-time fan kit. So another affordable option that they have done is they have made a bundle of their soft cover core rules, judges screen, and a first adventure, and a set of dice.
Ooh.
All for just a little bit more than the price of the book.
Oh, yeah, okay,
so
cool.
It's about $30, and I think the book is like 20 something. You get, and the dice themselves are 20 something. So I think you're
getting a deal. Do they include like the weird dice? Like
yes,
three and seven. And,
right. Yeah. So it's 14 dice, and it's all the odd sizes that they include. So that's a nice way. I mean, it's instantly playable up to, you know, you're playing the full game, and you have a screen and an adventure to get started. So it's a really good deal. So we'll take a look at all of those on the unboxing, and you can see
cool
how things look.
That's where they included those weird dice in there, just to use the weird dice. Like, right. Roll a D13. Oh, you don't have one. Right. Well.
And there was even in the grab bag, there was a great book. A little bit of a spoiler for the unboxing. There was a book of D50 rolls, tables for a D50. And it was just like every possible kind of list of 50 things, you know, 50 things that would be included. Oh, what's in that sack? Oh, here roll the table. Here's one of 50 things. Or, you know, what place are you open the door and you find, oh, one of these 50 things. So you can just half a percentile, or you can have a D50 to
roll. I actually kind of like those tables, because, I mean, I understand, like, how many times are you going to use them? Potentially a lot, right? But no, I like how it's not environmental storytelling, but oftentimes it can be like, what was that thing doing there? Mm-hmm. And it kind of opens up like a hook, and you kind of come up with ideas, and you just kind of go from there. And this all from this random die roll that there's a, you know, some kind of weird painting in a sack, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. So as soon as that, so subscribe to the channel if you want to get notified when that video goes up. It's probably going to be about an hour. It took a while to go through. And you'll see all the goodness, a lot of early nostalgia Goodman games. And also, because they kind of revived and reprint a lot of old stuff, there's some very interesting kind of historical little treasures that were in there, because they do support, you know, Judges Guild. They reprint a lot of stuff from classic D&D days. All right. So that'll do it for this week, and all the ways that we were disappointed this week. So
wasn't that many.
Yeah. Keep an eye out. There's a couple of May Kickstarters to look forward to, I guess. All right. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. That's HiveMind, HiveMynd, where I'm talking about historic miniatures and the first game of the Project Nisei Netrunner cards. Mm-hmm. I've meeting up with Alan this Sunday.
Oh, nice.
And I have no confidence in my deck building abilities anymore, right?
Right.
I'm looking at going, this is just a heap trash of cards, isn't it? It's going to do nothing. Right? So I'll let people know how that goes when I come back next week.
Excellent.
How about you?
So I am still doing my single panel gag cartoon. So Abuse Cartoons on both YouTube and Twitch. And you can go to abusecartoons.com. And the archive for everything I've done for the last 20 years for this cartoon is available at gocomics.com/domesticabuse.
Two-thirds as long as squats have been gone.
Yes, right. It's almost been as long. That's what I've been doing to deal with the loss of squats.
Took you 10 years to come up with the idea of, I still miss those space dwarves. A one-panel gag cartoon will get me through this.
And so the live stream for that happens Monday evening, North American time, Tuesday if you're on this side of the world.
Yep.
And if you'd like to support what we're doing with the weekly, please visit patreon.com/upturntable and become a weekling.
Yeah.
So and let us know specifically like what you want to see on this show and what we're doing well. Just a good good way to give us some input. And then you can also support at other levels to support the lore series, or just a very, you know, basic level of support, as little as a dollar. Mm. And you can also click the join button below this video to join through YouTube if you're not into the Patreon thing. And it's the same benefits and, you know, same interaction with what we're doing.
Did you line that up perfectly so you're actually pointing at the join button?
I might have to flip the video. All right. So that'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.